Hello, listeners. We welcome you to a special edition of the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. If you caught last week's episode, then you were able to hear a little bit about women in the workforce, and honestly, how three men do not need to be the ones discussing it. So, today we sit down with Misty Hill, who will offer some unique insights on women in the workforce and how lots of women take different paths to get to their ultimate goals. Misty handles business development with the Arrowood team at People's Home Equity right here in Kingsport, Tennessee. She has spent many years working in the banking industry, but has seemed to really catch her stride as the glue between the Arrowood team and their referral partners. I have personally known Misty for several years, and I also had the privilege of serving alongside her as an ambassador for your Kingsport Chamber. In this episode, we will be diving into some of the challenges that women face in the workplace, the progress that has been made, and the work that still needs to be done. So sit back, relax, and join us as we have an engaging conversation about women in the workforce with my good friend, and soon to be yours, Misty Hill. Good morning, March 16th.
It is March Madness.
Everybody's brackets should be in because games have started.
And we have Misty Hill.
Hi, everybody.
Misty, you didn't give us a March Madness bracket, so.
I did. You probably don't want me to do that.
This is actually really weird. Why are you here?
The door was open.
Why is there a girl in here?
I was walking down the hall and found this door open.
Like, hey, you want a podcast?
Yeah.
You ever podcasted before?
This is my first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you could be here with us.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
I think we need to publicly announce really quick who we've picked to win the national championship in basketball.
Well, hopefully Alabama wins. That's who I picked, and
I think that's a good pick.
I've already started talking a bunch of smack talk, so it's really important they pull it through this year.
Alabama, Peter.
I went Arizona. Bama's a good team, but I would never pick Bama even if there was 100% chance of them winning. So
Misty,
I went Arizona.
Do you want me to embarrass you and ask you who you picked, or
someone with the ball? I don't know.
That's kind of what I thought.
That's
why we're here, because we're going to address the way I just addressed you on that.
No, this, what Peter just said. Henry came up with the best bracket. What was it? 2016.
Oh, there was somewhere in there. He picked based upon mascot. Like who he thought would win in a fight.
Yeah, not over which one's your favorite. It's which mascot can take the other.
So, you know, I think he got 2% right. But, you know, it was a mascot-based.
He won fan favorite, though.
What about you? Who you got, Josh?
I picked Houston.
It's not a bad one.
Well, they're the overall favorite, and I usually don't like that. But I just think that I was looking at their side of the bracket, and I feel like it's much more manageable for them to make it to the very end.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to get past Texas, assuming, you know, the two seed makes it. I think I've got Texas beating.
There's these really cool numbers on the brackets that tell you where they place. I just go by that.
Tell you where they place?
Yeah, well,
you mean their seeding?
Their seed, yeah.
Yeah, you but you can't always rely on
was
that.
Was it one time ever the 16th seed's beaten the number one seed ever in March Madness, right?
Once, yeah.
It was the year that, the only reason I remember
UVA
is Little Caesars. Little Caesars gave.
Little Caesars.
Little Caesars. If you eat too much of it,
you'll get little seizures.
They're just micro, you know? Like, what's my shoulder doing? But they were giving away free if a 16 seed beat a first seed a few years ago, and that's the only time it's happened.
Really?
Giving away free pizza?
Breadsticks, I think.
Oh.
Well, I would normally tell people this is a safe place, but as you can see, if you mess up speaking one time, you're going to pay for it. So. Can't wait to get home and get some little seizures.
Little seizures.
So we had talked last week about women in the workforce, and obviously
we waxed poetically about women in the workforce. We knew so much.
It was pretty enlightening. I've gotten some feedback on that. And honestly, the feedback was pretty good. They're like, you all did your best.
So, I think so. I listened to that. I listened to that. So I think it was
You want to start correcting us now, or do you want to?
But yeah. I thought it was I thought it would be pretty valuable to have a female's point of view on a few things regarding this topic, because you know we're in the trenches back here, and it's very male driven in our office what we're doing.
The whole industry is male driven. You know, financial just in general has traditionally been male driven. For better or for worse, it is what it is. So it's very hard to break in, I'm sure, you know, and it's also, you know, we have a history of following what our parents have done, you know, and it takes a long time to shift those narratives.
Right. And I really feel like my generation, when I'm on like Gen Z or whatever.
I'll let you disclose that. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to say. I'll let you disclose that if you want to.
I'm in my 40s. So, okay. So, like in my generation, like we graduated from high school and we became wives. We became mothers. And that was our ambition. And that's what we were supposed to do. But now I'm finding that a lot of women that are in my age bracket, like we're realizing that, for one thing, companies have changed the way that they're doing hiring now. You know, it used to be an after where you can walk in and be like, you know, my dad worked here, and so, oh, yeah, you got a job. We'll hire you right now.
That's how Peter got here.
Totally. Whoops. How I got this
okay.
job.
that was
when
not
I was
intended
10.
For you, Peter.
No. When I was 10, I was told this is your job the rest of your life.
No pressure.
Yeah. Well, okay, or, you know.
No, but I think you're right. Yeah. It's definitely been the trend.
Yes, and now, you know, when you want to apply for a job, people are using these third-party companies to do their hiring for them, and they're filtering your application based on certain criteria, and one of them, you know, a lot of times is, you know, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, you know, and if you don't have that, you're automatically out of the race. They're not looking at your experience anymore. Mm-hmm. They're not interviewing you first and then deciding, you know, I mean, you just, if you don't make that first cut, you don't make it. So I've got several people, I'm actually going to school right now to get my bachelor's in marketing. And I've got several people that are nurses in my class right now, and they've been told that they can't move up any further. They can't have any more promotions until they've gotten their bachelor's degree. And we're all, like I said, in the same age group. One of them I actually graduated high school with. So, I mean, it's getting dog-eat-dog out there when it comes to, you know, if you don't have the educational background, then you know, we're having to go back to school now.
Well, yeah. Which some of that would make sense with what we talked about last week as far as, what was it, 60% of women are enrolled in college.
Colleges are currently being very driven by female attendance.
And I looked it up after we talked about it, and a lot of it's in the STEM curriculum. Yeah. It's not just
so it makes sense if you graduate high school and get married and start a family.
Start popping out kids.
You're kind of going, popping out kids. Then you're kind of going back and starting fresh again.
Yeah, I feel like I did a lot of things backwards. So
so you're an adult student.
Yes, I am.
You're a statistic.
I am. I'm right in the smack in the middle.
Do you have one of those rolly backpacks?
I don't. I don't even have a backpack.
See, I'm pretty sure once you hit 40, that's a law. You have to have a rolly backpack.
I have one of those like Mary Poppins purses that like there's like you just keep putting stuff in and it's like just keep, you know. It's magical.
I remember being, when I was in school and we had adult students, they would, I think that's when the rolly backpack era started.
Well, see, I was
we
going
have
like
back
the early
problems.
2000s.
You know, when I was going to school in 2008 during the recession and everything, all the people coming back to school from the workforce that, you know, they got laid off and stuff, all rolly backpacks.
Rolly backpacks.
100%.
I've never had one of those. I never had a rolly backpack.
Good
steps
for you.
Always seemed like a difficult time for those people.
Yeah, they got there and they had some decisions to make really quick.
It's is there anything breakable in my backpack before rolling up these stairs?
Or do I go around the building to the handicap ramp? Right.
I think that's what I would do. I would take
Misty, how long did it take you to realize you wanted to go back to school and wanted to do something more?
I wanted to go to school for a long time. I just sometimes, me especially, but I think a lot of other people are like this. When you don't really know what to do, you don't do anything. So I think that was my problem for a while. Really, I waited until my kids were older. You know, I have four kids, so it took a while, you know, for them to get old enough where they didn't need me as much. And then, like, I just have a different support system now. So I have people around me that are very supportive of what I'm doing, and they're able to kind of take up the slack where they're slack. Because let's face it, guys, school is a huge time suck.
It is. Absolutely.
I don't care. I'm only doing three classes, and that's tops for me right now, I think.
Are all of yours night classes, or are they during the day too?
I have two that are online only, and then I have one that's hybrid that is at night. Mm. One, I meet one day a week, and then the other day is online.
Yeah, that's silly. I forgot about online.
It makes the world so much better.
That's the new way to do it, right?
Well, I do think that it's going to be a factor in allowing people to go back sooner. And hopefully that's the case because, well, I can – you know, squeeze an hour in, you know, here and there. But if I've got to drive all the way to, you know, in our case, over to Johnson City or out to Blountville for Northeast State, you know, just the transportation costs. I know that we're looking, because I chair the Northeast State Foundation, so I kind of see some of the things that they're dealing with on attendance. And transportation and childcare are the two biggest factors of someone having to either drop out or not complete or keep them from applying in the first place. And it's a major issue that online can help with.
And it can also help a whole lot with, there were times when I was going through the MBA that the only available time I had to work on classes was 5 a.m., 6 a.m. And, you know, you don't have classes during that time. So having the flexibility to do it at my own schedule helped a lot with the online classes.
Right. And one thing to bring up too, you were talking about educational costs. There's, I don't know how many of the listeners know about this, but it's a Tennessee program called Tennessee Reconnect. I don't know if you guys have ever heard about that. Like where I graduated.
It's huge.
Yeah, where I graduated high school and I never went to college. Now I'm able to apply for that grant and it's going to pay for the first 2 years of my college. I think it applies as long as you have not, as long as you have not achieved a bachelor's, don't quote me on that. But you can look it up at Tennessee Reconnect. You can Google it and it'll give you the requirements for it. But it's a great program. It's a last dollar program, so it's not going to pay you to go to school. But I mean, it covers a lot of the costs, and that kind of eliminated one obstacle for me. And a lot of single parents or even low income parents, it's a great program for that.
Tennessee Promise is for the kids coming right out of high school, and then Tennessee Reconnect is exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
And that was actually modeled off a program that was developed here in Sullivan County with networks and everything else. Their partnership with Northeast State was the, I guess, pilot program that then got adopted by the state level. So it's definitely one of those things that, you know, on a community college level, it can make a huge difference. Now, you still have book fees, you still have lab fees, you still have everything else, but I've told a lot of families to look into those programs, and you know, it doesn't matter where in the state you go. So if you want that college experience and you want to go across the state, you can. You know, it doesn't have to be your community college or your local college. But yeah, might as well use it if they're going to pay for it.
Absolutely.
It's massive.
Yeah, and I know my daughter, this has been, you know, several years ago, but she was interested in going to UT. We lived at Iowa in the time, and she wanted to transfer. And she was told there were so many scholarship dollars that were unclaimed. And I don't know if that's still the case, but at that time, you know, I just don't feel like there's as many kids now going to college as there used to be. I don't know.
They have had a downtick in the amount of attendance, I believe.
The value of a college education has decreased for certain professions. But there is still, and I think what you were mentioning, you know, right at the beginning, if you're an HR manager and you're looking at resumes or you have a third party, you know, it really has become more about, can I pass the checklist more than can I do the job?
Right.
And for the major companies, it's just, you know, it's dictated from on high that role will have these qualifications. And so I think there is a little bit of that going on. But it's, you know, we see education, you know, rise and fall depending upon what's going on in the economy too. But I think for a lot of people, it was what you did.
Right.
If you didn't know what you were going to do after high school, you know, you might go to college until you figured it out. And it used to be cheap enough that you could do that. Now, with how much it costs, I don't think that that's nearly as viable.
And the work I've done with certificates, you know, being now going through the CFP, but also doing the Series 65, I've learned more from that that's applicable to my job than I ever did through the bachelor's degree, which was much more generic and all-encompassing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It taught you how to think.
They teach you how to research, and it shows employers that you can deal with that level of stress for at least 3, 4, 5 years, however long you're in college.
Well, one thing that's really interesting to me, I was talking to Ryan Kelly, the woman who we're going to be speaking with and kind of learning a little bit about scholarships, how to maximize those. But she even said that there's a huge number of scholarship dollars that never make it out. They're never claimed. And of course, they're probably, I'm thinking the folks who are holding those, I don't know that they're going to go shouting from the rooftops, "Hey, we've got all this money left, come get it." So it's like, how do you know unless...
A lot of times it's a trust or something that's set up a specific way that hinders it from being able to go out into the college community. Could that be that,
but one of the things that she focuses on has to do with finding these micro scholarships. And so everybody applies for the $20,000, $30,000 a year type scholarships. But you can Google, you know, Kingsport, Tennessee, $500 scholarships. And if you get enough of those,
absolutely,
you can pay for your so I know like Kiwanis at one point had a scholarship. Rotaries have scholarships. Utility districts
have
scholarships.
Credit unions have them.
So,
a lot.
And not very many people apply for them. So you might be one of 20 applying for that versus one of thousands applying for something else. So she teaches people how to do that process to kind of micro pay for your college a little bit of a time. And I think she was able to raise something, and she'll say when she's on, but it was like $140,000 that she got doing these small scholarships as opposed to going after the big ones.
And you think of $500 over interest over however long that grows, it takes you multiple months just to pay that off. I mean, you can start whittling away at it.
Absolutely.
I have the question to beat all questions. So.
Should we drum roll?
No.
Okay.
He adds that in later.
Is this question for me?
Sure.
I'm a little nervous.
Are you volunteering?
Sure.
Okay.
Do I know anything about this?
I don't know. You're a woman, so
okay.
We're going to see.
I probably do.
I was looking in the realm of discrimination. Mm-hmm. Obviously, huge deal between men and women, what the gaps are of numerous things. But the one thing I kept seeing over and over and over as far as a negative for having a woman in the workforce is the whole child issue, having a child, starting a family.
Like the work-life balance.
Yeah, it's the one constant that kept popping mm-hmm. up, like what's the negative, what's the drawback? And I started thinking, if you took that totally out of the equation, mm-hmm. like let's say we just erased that, didn't even exist, what would be another reason, like another drawback to having a female in the workforce? Does that make sense? I can't think of another gripe, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Because there isn't one. No.
All right. And if that's,
no, but if that's the answer, that's good. That's the answer.
Well, I kind of researched a little bit and kind of picked my own brain about, you know, got my thoughts together about what are some advantages to having women in the workforce. And obviously, just one of the reasons why you guys brought me here today is diversity of thought and perspective.
Yes.
Is because, you know, women bring a whole new perspective to the workplace, and that can lead to, you know, more innovative, like problem solving. That we also have different skill sets and strengths than men do. And so
like
that
what?
Can. Josh.
I'm just kidding.
Meet me outside, Josh.
Catch me outside.
So good last week.
Outside. Not
being jerks.
But I like the answer of what's the issue with having women? And according to Misty, it's just pure positive. I mean, but seriously, having the diversity in a workforce mm-hmm. generates different ideas.
Yeah. Well, but even her positive things, though, just kind of go back to, you know, reconfirming my point of mm-hmm. I can't think of another obstacle
right
other than the, like, birthing of a human being.
And well, honestly, that kind of get falls, the, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that just kind of falls into the same arena is the work-life balance that, you know, women are more intensely affected mm-hmm. by that. I think it men may, you know, there's some men I've been finding that are taking on more of that role. Like I have a couple people in my circle that, you know, the men stay home with the children and the women work.
That's always you know? Been my dream.
And yeah, did you hear that, Lacey?
It's always been my
it
dream.
It is possible.
But, you know.
You don't know how many times I've waited to get that fortune in my cookie. I mean, it's just never came.
Well, you need to be nicer to women.
I guess so.
Been trying to tell him, but.
Sorry, I just, when you said that, I just lit up. I was like, it is true. Well, that dream can come true.
I wonder, would that completely close the gap if all of a sudden men took time off during pregnancy also?
I'm trying to try to say this without being offensive. In that, I believe people should be able to take as much time off for
Absolutely.
Leave as possible. But I think there's been a historical thing from a employer standpoint, wrongly so, but the thought process being if I bring in a person, maybe I help pay for their education, they decide to start a family, and it's not that they take 8 months off or whatever it is, it's that they don't come back at all.
The risk of not coming
the
back.
The risk. Mm-hmm. And so there's a financial component to that mm-hmm. that, similar to what we were saying with do you have a college degree checklist, that previously we haven't had to worry about that being the case. And so I think that is something that is played in. And, you know, every discriminatory behavior can be probably, you know, rationalized in some form or fashion.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you've really, you know, tried to delude yourself. But I do think that that was a big part of it. And especially amongst small business, you know, one person makes a massive difference. And if you get two candidates there side by side, you know, and you didn't know the gender, you're going to pick completely by, you know, qualifications. But it just happens. You know, there's people who are like, well, maybe, you know, but you could say that for a lot of other things too.
Absolutely.
Of that are discriminatory. So old versus young. You know, that person is closer to retirement. That person is, you know.
If it takes a year to train them, I only get two or three years.
Yeah. Right. You know, so people have justified it for a lot of different reasons. But I do think that the potential for you, you know, putting a lot of energy, because nobody likes the hiring process. But if you put a lot of energy and time into trying to find the right person and, you know, they're gone in 4 or 5 years, that can be massively detrimental. So I think that's, you know, a little bit of what's going on there. And then you just have people who are jerks and like, I just want to work with guys and I don't want to have a second bathroom in my office, you know, type thing, you know.
I think, can't we have two bathrooms that just dudes use?
Yeah, so, you know.
Too much to clean.
You know, we actually didn't, you know, you think that those things don't matter, but, you know, we're building the new office building, right? And we actually had this discussion. Do we have, because we've got two public bathrooms, do we make them male-female? Do we make them client-employee? Do we make them just completely...
Knock before you walk in.
Knock before you walk in. But, you know, that's brain power and time that you're using on trying to figure that stuff out. So, I mean, there are some things behind it, but you still should make the right human choice.
That's it.
In the end.
And it comes down to what you were saying. You can rationalize anything.
Yeah.
The problem is if you are having to rationalize it, it's probably not the right decision.
Yeah. But it's not, you know, any discriminatory practice, you know, it's just, you know, people try to find ways, and they may be right, but you should still make the right decision. So, you know, you could have somebody who is excellent at their job that for no fault of their own, less people want to do business with you because they are there. Mm-hmm. And as a business owner, you're sitting there going, well, this is going to affect my bottom line. It's going to mean I can't employ as many people. I can't blah, 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 blah. But I still should make the right decision as a human.
Right.
But it's not a zero cost decision. So it's awful that things have been discriminatory. We've had, you know, clients who were let go because, like, they were pregnant, you know, and the right. employer tries to let them go before it's kind of public knowledge, but it's through the rumor mill. So if we can fire them quickly, then they don't, you know, have a leg to stand on. And of course, then, you know, they won that case. So, you know, but it's not fair, but it's a reality of the world that we live in.
I was curious if you feel like in your professional career now, do you feel like having your children, even though they're not babies, do you feel like that's always going to hinder you from moving forward in your career in some way, shape, or form?
I don't think so. I'm very good at compartmentalizing my life. So I'm and actually it's kind of a stark contrast, because in my professional life I'm super organized, I'm super together. But in my personal life, it's not so much that way.
When she told me that the first time, she's so organized at her work. It caught me off guard. Yeah.
Listen, this isn't your therapy session. Okay? Let's keep it.
But do you think that, how much different do you think it would be if you were a man?
If I was a man? Yeah, I feel like I have
kid work life.
Oh, geez. I don't think it would be any different. I mean, I feel like for me, I do have, basically, for my role with my partner, it's like I run the household, basically. You know, I mean, my partner, you know, he goes to work, he makes his paycheck. There's certain things we do have, different things that may be considered typically gender roles, you know, that, you know, he does the outside work, I do the inside work. But as far as like the financial component, for example, like I take care of everything that goes in and out of that house that has to do with money, it goes through my hands first.
So, I love that.
Yes.
And I'm starting, the more clients I've been talking to lately, the more people I've noticed the female is taking that financial role.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Kate does all of it. I deal with too much stuff here. I do. I deal with our investments, but Kate runs, you know, all of the finances of the house. But I do think that there is, and this is changing, but there has been an expectation. So maybe you didn't feel it, but if in a two income earning household, young children make a tremendous difference, because if one's out sick from school or can't go to daycare or can't do whatever, traditionally the woman has been the one who needed to stay home and miss time out from work. And that's changing a little bit, but I do think it's been discriminatory mm-hmm. in that nature. I mean, and, you know, having three kids of my own, you know, I know that was one of the things that I benefited from with having a small business and my dad running the company, is that I got that understanding that if I needed to be out, I could be out. But that's not always the case. And depending upon who each spouse works for or each partner works for, it can dramatically affect, you know, where they're at. So it's those stereotypes still exist. And It's very tough with young children. That gets easier as they get older. Yeah. They can stay home by themselves even if they're sick. But
and you might even have a built-in babysitter, depending possibly. On the age gap.
Well, I think that, you know, like with my job, I have the capability to work from home. So I think that's changing the workforce as well, because that's helping more women and maybe men as well get back into the workforce, even if they have children, because that lends a lot of flexibility to their jobs, where you can work at home. And like you said, especially if they're older children, not babies. I don't know how anyone would work at home with a baby, but you know, it helps you to earn that income at the same time as being home with your child. So that's kind of how we do it. You know, sometimes I stay home with the kids if they're sick. Sometimes he stays home with them if they're sick. But, you know, just whoever can, you know, has that freedom to be at home that day, basically.
I like that. That's a lot more what's convenient at that specific situation.
Right, because sometimes I'll have meetings or I'll have, you know, things that I have to go to or have to be present for. But if it's a day where I'm just going to be, you know, making phone calls and things like that, I can go in my office, hop on the phone, make phone calls all day, you know, but I'm still present and there for the child.
Well, that's all great to know, and I think that there's a lot of points to be taken from all that. And so clearly there's anything can be argued to a certain extent.
Yeah. There's a reason why the word devil or the expression devil's advocate exists.
Well, speaking of the devil, do you want to talk about Silicon Valley?
I definitely think we need to discuss it in depth next week.
I think the big thing to get out there to people, if you're listening to right now, yeah, we'll go a little bit more in depth next week. And we've seen it with multiple banks here recently. But the majority of depositors are completely fine. So I think that's the main thing that people, if you're worried about your money in your local community bank or whatever it has to be, one, you've got protection up to $250,000 of your deposits. If it's a joint account, you've got $500,000. So you're most likely insured. 99% of the people out there are going to be insured. And the Federal Reserve and the FDIC have backstopped the depositors of the U.S. banks that have been going under, one in New York, one in California, and the Swiss government has come out and backed Credit Suisse. So seems like things are calming down, but fear is what drives bank runs, and that's what we've experienced. But the big takeaway is you're fine as long as you're not over the FDIC limits, and you're probably still fine past that based upon what we're seeing right now. But we'll definitely hit that one more in depth.
So can they just come in and shut a bank down?
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when a bank...
Well, all right then.
When a bank becomes
was
insolvent...
Was it a man or a woman?
It was a man. Most definitely a man.
That was running it. Yeah. A female had to come in and fix it.
I want to say the CEO might be a female out of the UK. But it's you know, you never know. But yeah, no, the FDIC, that's their charge, is they can come in and shut a bank down, and they provide the deposits. But when a bank can no longer meet the withdrawals that are being requested of it, then, yeah, you shut the doors and, you know, it's good old-fashioned bank run. We used to experience them all the time before FDIC insurance existed, because that's how banks make money, is they bring in deposits and then they lend it out at a certain interest rate. And they normally can cover 70 to 80% of withdrawals. But if everybody comes back all at once and wants their money, no bank in the world can withstand that.
Yeah.
Or
they
that's how that
they wouldn't
system
be a bank
works.
Anyway, right. if they weren't able to loan it out.
Wow. More to come. Yeah. Dot, dot, dot. Or to be continued. Dot, dot, dot. I'm thinking of those old Batman. The TV series, the old Batman.
Kapow.
Yeah, it always said, like, to be Batman continued at the end. That's what I was...
Find out next week on the Bullseye Podcast.
I was having a moment, so...
You want to give it a shot again?
No, it's okay.
The moment has passed, as my wife would tell me.
It's passed. Misty, you've made it to the end. You're now...
I'm actually kind of sad.
Well, we're not totally done, because I'm going to ask you three lightning round questions.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, by lightning round, that encourages you to be quick and prompt with your answers.
I don't know if I can do this. My brain doesn't work that fast. What's your favorite color?
Wait a minute.
You can't ask your own question.
I'm just giving you an example.
Okay.
That was an example of my performance.
Okay. Are you ready?
I think.
Okay. So... what would be one word that you think people would use to describe you?
See, I told you this
lightning
is what
round.
I was...
Lightning round.
And I did...
Optimistic. I am optimistic.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Well, I did look at the judges. They said, is not an acceptable answer. So I'm glad you were able to squeak one in really quick.
I was trying to think of all the nice words I can think of.
All of the amazing words. Okay,
yes.
Optimistic.
Yes.
What is your favorite cereal of all time?
Berry Berry Cheerios.
What?
Yes.
Solid choice.
Sounds good. I've never had that one.
Wait a minute. I want to make sure. Are your earphones where I want to make sure you understood what I said. Favorite cereal of all time. That's what you're going to go with?
Berry Berry Cheerios. They're
It sounds
awesome.
Good. Yeah.
They smell like sunshine.
Do you want your cereal to smell like sunshine?
I'm trying to think of what sunshine smells like.
Like Smell. Get you a box. Find out.
Okay.
Good.
Last question. Okay. Mountains or beach?
Oh, mountains. Yeah. I'm not a beach person.
Good call.
I hate sand. It gets in bad places.
Sand is like literally how you know the devil is real.
I figured
sand.
You were going to go in the middle and say just a really misty hill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like that, Brian.
Wow. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I had to throw one out there today.
The correct answer was beach, but that's okay.
I sunburn. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming and sitting
thanks.
In.
Yeah, thanks
hopefully,
for having me.
Hopefully it was bearable.
It was awesome. I don't want to leave.
You don't want to? Well, I mean, you can hang out.
Do you know how to do tax returns?
Oh, I have an appointment. Wait, I forgot about that. No.
So everyone's going to have your information. They're going to know how to get a hold of you and what you do. Is there anything else you'd like to share from your company's point of view that you'd like to get out to everyone?
I'll just encourage people that to use a local lender, which we are a local lender, because as Tim says, when something goes sideways, which sometimes it will, when you're doing a transaction, it doesn't matter who you're working with, you won't have somebody you can put your hands around their throat. So we always say that, you know, that's one reason that it's good to use a local lender. Our company is fantastic at communication. We excel at that. We're proactive. We're fantastic for first-time home buyers that need a little hand-holding through the transaction process, and we would love just to do business with you guys.
Yeah, check them out.
Worth the time. Yeah.
Well, this is the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. Go to our website, AFIAdvisors.com. to check out more information and see pictures of all of us. This picture thing is becoming a big deal because we're having listeners say, oh, you didn't look like what I thought you would look like.
Really?
Because they just hear your voice. Mm-hmm. So go look at our pictures on the website, social media, all that fun stuff. If you have a question, concern, or snide remark, you can email us at connect@afiadvisors.com. Anything else? Misty? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Have a good day.
So
have a good weekend.
We'll have to bring you back and we'll talk your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your stuff.
Yes,
so
it would be good to have
you
in
there. Good deal. All right. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show? Or maybe be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thanks for all of the support. Cheers.